How are you, Joe?
I'm doing well, thank you. How about yourself?
Not too bad, thank you.
Thanks for checking in with us this morning. Appreciate it. This is
no problem.
Conversation, of course, has to be had about the property tax rates for 2022 that were set last night by the City Council.
Great.
And I have the PowerPoint presentation here in front of me from the Director of Municipal Finance. Average increase of $229 for the residential property.
Correct.
That is seems like a pretty modest increase. Can you talk a little bit about the thought process putting this together?
Yes, for sure. As you may recall, Joe, last year we really suppressed the rate using some free cash and all, trying to get people a break because we were going through the COVID stuff. And so we can't do that every year. Cities and towns, municipal finance revenue, the bulk of the revenue comes from property tax, and it's anticipated every year the taxes go up. Moderately to fund the services and all the things that people, I assume understand it's municipal government, plowing and rubbish pickup and schools and parks and libraries and veteran services and council and aging, all that stuff is funded through most of it through the property taxes. So, went through the process this year. It was a little later this year on the numbers because we pension obligation bonds had to be put to rest, and that those have been in flux really over the last couple of months because of all the, this is new, right, doing this pension obligation bond, $475 million. So there were a lot of boxes to check on that with different agencies and so forth. So it took a little while before we got it settled in and figured on the number that we did. So, we're suppressing it a little bit. We are much lower than the communities around us. All around us are well over 300. I think one may be even over 400.
So Braintree,
Braintree. That's a. And I'm not being critical. I'm just comparing. That's all.
Right.
Every city and town has issues to deal with. So I think we're in a pretty good place, and see what happens this coming year. Hopefully, the economy continues to bounce back, inflation gets under control, and we can get back to some normalcy. I hope.
Did the refinancing of the pension bond obligations have the desired effect that you'd hoped?
Yes, so we save money this year and every year going forward. Now, the first 2 years of the bond are a little lighter payment, and then it goes into the full year payment in the third year. But even with that, so the bond, we were trying to stretch out a little bit further. The state basically told us we could only bond to the extent of what the schedule shows on systems being fully funded, which is 2040. Now, technically, my guess is that'll be extended at some point again, the schedule, because that happens every 10 years.
Yeah.
They move it out a few more years. But having said that, we had to meet that. So in that time frame of the 18, 19 years that we're bonding this, the city will, it's an estimate, but a pretty good estimate, that we will save about $150 million of what we would have been paying for the retirement system. In other words, as we talked about, the bill for the retirement system was going up every year. The retirement board sends me a bill. I have to pay it. And, if you look at the schedule going over the next 10, 15, 20 years, that bill was going up dramatically every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, in 3 years out, our bill will go up, but then it's going to stay the same for the next 17, 18 years. So that gives us continuity and stability in the budget.
Okay.
So it's a savings of about $150 million. It all works because of the historic low interest rates. That's the only reason it works.
Yeah. And curiously, the actual rates, the tax rates, went down.
Correct. Yep.
But
I mean, if you go back and look at rates, this is probably the lowest rate in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just the values have been so dramatic, the increases in the values, which is good and bad, Joe, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have your home, it's your major investment. You want to see your investment do well. Where could you put, that kind of money into an account somewhere and get the kind of return they're getting on the houses? So people can draw money out of the houses with, using the excess, appraisal in it. Some people do work to the house. Some people use it for college education.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when you're ready to cash in and sell the house, you want the best value you possibly can. Now, the downside of that is if you're breaking into the market and you're trying to buy, it's a steep market right now. And everyone says, you got to do something about it. Well, this is, we do live in a in a world where the market drives the economy mm-hmm. for the most part. So it's not like we can control the cost of houses. I mean, it's just it's up there. Now, it's also a compliment. It means that people want to live here for a lot of good reasons. So it cuts both ways. It's challenging.
Certainly, especially if you're on a fixed income, as you're well aware, that's the biggest challenge.
And those people on fixed income, the elderly, they do have options.
Yeah.
There's widow abatements, there's veterans abatements, there's deferred tax payments. There's ways to do it. There are tools, but mm-hmm. I know a lot of seniors don't like to provide any information to anybody. I get it. But the reality is there are options for them. They should check in with the assessor's office.
Yeah. Another comment I hear often, and I know you do too, I'm not telling you anything new, is with all the development in the city, Mayor, why do taxes keep going up? Why don't those subsidize the property tax levy?
Well, again, if we're right in the middle of the pack of 351 cities and towns in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. we're below the state average. Yet, I would argue, and I think quite successfully, that we're on the top of the heap when it comes to services. We provide the best in services across the board that cost money. Further, we're on our fourth new school. Most communities to do one school have to get a Prop 2 and a half override. We're building seawalls. We're building all kinds of new infrastructure. That's where the money's going, back right into the community. We're investing so the future generations don't get stuck with a problem with all the infrastructure. You keep putting it off, and all of a sudden you'd be looking at hundreds of millions of dollars of infrastructure challenges. So whether it's our public buildings, whether it's our roads, our pipes, our sewers, our water, seawalls, you name it, we've been investing back into our systems and our infrastructure. And that costs money. That's the reality. But I would argue that because of that development, the number is only 229, whereas Braintree's over 400.
Mm. Very good. I wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to that because I know you hear it all the time.
Oh, I do. I do. And look at it. I was the chief of staff at Jim Sheets. Took that job in 1990, January of 1990.
I remember
that.
And
all of those years, I took calls because I handled constituent services about taxes being too high, about the sewer fee going in. I know people do not like to pay taxes. I get it. And they have to write a check for the most part. Unless your bank takes it out for you if you have a mortgage. But, whereas Uncle Sam, it comes automatically right out of your check withdrawal. So writing that check, I know, is a little bit aggravating for people. But, it's the community that we want in the sense that we provide the best of services. It's safe. It's clean. And I tell you, I get notes all the time, whether the, city worker responded to a sewer call, whatever it may be, that people were so satisfied and surprised by certain services that people are served with. So, mm-hmm. Again, I would argue that we're the best in the Commonwealth providing the best for the people of our city. And there's a cost to that.
Speaking of money, the governor just yesterday did sign the $4 billion ARPA bill. And any better sense for how that might impact Quincy?
Well, I know that Speaker Mariana was working on some money in there for the Quincy Center T-Station. I assume it's in there, but I haven't reviewed the final bill, if you will, Joe. So, it's going to give the governor some room to work with on infrastructure projects around the state. So I'll be at the table once again, making sure that Quincy gets its share mm-hmm. Of that $4 billion. And there's many, many ways we can spend it, including the T station at Quincy Center, including parking garage in Quincy Center, including seawalls and infrastructure. Some of those things I already described that may fall into some of those categories. So we'll be working extremely hard, making sure that we get that up here.
Very good. Please let us know when you know, so we can let everybody else know.
Sounds good.
Mayor, the governor also yesterday announced that Quincy is one of the communities that will be receiving some of the free rapid COVID-19 at-home tests. Any idea just how those will be distributed yet?
Actually, I don't. I know that the Commissioner of Health and I talked briefly yesterday. He was working on a plan and checking the guidelines, and we'd probably be talking sometime today and tomorrow trying to figure out how that how those get distributed.
Very good. Finally, any agreement on the school contract, the teacher contract, to talk about?
No, I think, based on my talks with the superintendent and the negotiating team, they're extremely close. very, very close. So I'm hoping that it'd be a nice Christmas present for all sides.
Okay. maybe this time next week we can announce that.
That would be wonderful.
Anything else on your mind today, Mayor?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I know you're the time, as always.
Hard at work at your desk there already, early in the office, so I'll let you get back to it.
Thank you, Joe.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.